Johnny was a sausage head. He'd come from a great distant tribe of scribes, all who were born with a quill in their hand, or so it seemed. He wrote for days upon days, just a scrawl of nothingness, for he did not know that words existed. Words only took place in people's mouths, so it seemed. But other things, such as food, happened in people's mouths too. These things perplexed Johnny as he looked out over the distant shores. He saw the waves crashing against the shoreline. All of a sudden, there on the horizon was the sun. He'd never seen the sun before. It must have been blue, or was it polka-dotted? Black and white, perhaps? No, no, he called out. Don't show me your big orb. I did not like it. And it is not very round. He stared at it for days upon days, and he wondered why he'd gone blind. Then the Uberwater tribe came. They were a large brand of people. They had large nostrils, was one of their most definitive body features, other than their extra-long pinky fingers on their left hands. Who knows what that could have been for? The Uberwatties went up to our Johnny, blind Johnny. They took him, they tied his arms and legs to a long stick and carried him back to their den. The Uberwatty tribe's people gathered round this new creature. They brought out their chieftain, who looked all around. He looked at his own people. He looked at this new thing that they'd brought to present to him. One of the Uberwatties decided to present this new creature to their chieftain.
Chieftain, we have brought you a gift in the form of this blind creature known as Nanga.
Why do you call him Nanga?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but it sounded good at the time.
What do you propose that we do with Nanga?
Well, I believe that we should cook him, put him on the coals and the fire. Will you allow us to do this, our great chieftain?
Let me contemplate and I'll get back to you.
The chieftain was known as Kamal, and he would like to play some music from time to time and like to sing different songs that would rouse his own people, rouse the tribe into different transient dances. And they would dance this evening around this new creature, our Johnny. It was at this time that Johnny found himself surrounded by the entire tribe dancing in a transient state. A small child walked up to him and said,
"Oh, g'day, mister. What's going on?"
Johnny was bemused. Nobody had called him mister before. "Don't you know my name, child?" said Johnny.
"What, Nanga?"
"No, no, no, no. My name is Johnny. I'm a scribe."
"But you're blind."
"Yes, yes, I'm a scribe, a blind scribe."
"Yeah, but what am I going to do with that information?"
"Well, you could call my mummy."
"What, on a telephone? We don't have any telephones here."
"No, no, no. Just cup your hands together and just call. Like, what?"
"Yeah, but what's her name then? What's her name?"
"My mother's name is Queenie. And she will come at once,
as soon as she hears her voice, your voice, or anybody's voice, calling out, Queenie, Queenie, Queenie. But ensure that you are standing on the highest hill, the highest point, the tallest tree on the highest hill, for she will be able to hear you much better. The child walked up the closest hill, which happened to be the highest hill, and then cupped his hands together while standing on a very, very fragile branch. It was at this time that the child forgot what he meant to be calling out and had to go back down and ask Johnny again. Halfway down the hill he did remember, and then he walked back up the hill again and took his place back on that fragile branch and then called out the name. Well, the name he thought he was meant to call out, which was completely different because he did actually forget. Ubatu! Ubatu! Called the young man. He had no idea what he was meant to be doing. He was, quite frankly, not very bright. When the entire tribe heard out their war cry from the top of the mountain, they all ran and grabbed their spears and their assault rifles, and they started running in all different directions, scared and in a very strange manner. And it was at this point where we discover how they actually do use their long pinky finger on their left hand. Find out next week when Johnny gets his sight back and the Obatu Uani tribe is able to free themselves from oppression. I'm Nicholas Gerling, and this has been a new edition of I've Got a Large Armpit. Thank you.